So tired.
What a way to start.
What was that?
I don't even have my headphones on.
You need to put your headphones on. What are you doing?
Oh, I don't have mine on either.
What are we doing? Are we ready?
Guys, it's been a week.
It's been.
You know, why are we late,
it's
Spencer?
Been
why
one
are
week.
We even later than we normally are?
It's my fault. Guys, it's only Tuesday, and it's been a week.
It's already been a week. I have been sick.
I know.
All weekend, mm-hmm. And I'm starting to recover. I have my tea. Drink tea whenever you're sick.
Tit.
What?
Tit.
Tit. Tit.
A little bit. Tit.
A little bit of.
I need to learn tea in Japanese.
It's probably tit.
I don't know. Probably not.
It's probably tit.
Nana, oh, banana.
Yes, that's my favorite thing I learned because you're doing Duolingo.
Yeah, I'm doing Duolingo because I have Japanese on it now. And I'm like, oh shit, I could finally like start learning this. And I won't move on past like the first three lessons because I'm like, I don't have this. I can't move on yet.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to memorize all these symbols. And like,
tough.
I'm thinking of maybe finding like some type of book that explains to me what each stroke like means if they tie in together. I feel like I'm looking at a puzzle that I can't figure out because I can't understand why like this symbol that looks so similar to this other symbol, but they sound so different. And I'm like, okay, so it's not the look because I'm like, oh, okay, like if this is meh and this is te and this is that, like maybe like do all the eh sounds have the same shape or, but no, they don't. Like it's all over the place.
How many letters are there?
I don't know. I don't want to know yet because I don't want to be scared.
Four.
But I'm learning the basic, like the stuff the kindergartners learn.
Yeah, little feet.
Because all like, they have essentially a letter for like every sound.
Yeah, there was, it's funny because you'll be over in the corner and I'll just hear like, ah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ba.
Ah. Te. Meh. Mimi.
Like, what is Star doing?
My favorite one is Nana Banana. Is that
Nana
what it
banana.
Is?
That means...
Nana is seven in Japanese, I found. And then they were like, well, what's banana in Japanese? And they're like, banana. And this
banana.
Like, okay. So now the running thing is Nana banana.
Nana banana.
Seven banana. And bananas is not banana. It's something, it has a different like...
But it's Nana and is in it.
Yeah, yeah, but it doesn't have the same... ring to it as banana does.
No.
And so you have to use the singular banana with seven. Otherwise it doesn't work. So it's just singular banana and the number seven. Nana banana.
But see, now you know the number seven in Japanese and you don't know how to like learn languages. So
I
there
don't.
You go.
That is a step forward for me. I will always remember the number seven.
Now. I know Inu is dog now and it made me realize Inu. I'm like, oh, Shiba Inu. It's just Shiba dog. It's just the dog. It's the word.
And
I was like, oh my God, I'm figuring stuff out based on like other things. A lot of the early lessons are like food things. So it's like, I know what sushi looks like in Japanese now. And
sashimi.
Like sake and teriyaki.
Sashimi.
Like it's giving me those in the beginning because it's like, you know these sounds. You eat these things. I'm like, okay, yeah, thank you. Now I know I could read them.
So Lauren, our little super like spontaneous guest who is here, she knows German. And she was telling me that the German word for dog is?
Dog.
Yes. No, it's
so,
is it
Italian language.
It's a dachshund, right?
No,
Dachshund?
No, isn't it?
Like a dachshund.
Conversation.
Like a dachshund.
No, it was part of that word. I don't
dachshund?
I'm looking it up right now. Hold on.
Welcome to We Stay
hound.
Late.
It's hund. It's hund.
Hund. Dachshund.
So dachshund.
Dachshund.
But hund is German for dog. Welcome back to We Stay Late.
Where we talk about dogs.
We talk
different
about
languages.
Dogs and nothing at all.
Yeah.
I'm
so
Starlene
if you love dogs.
Hodge.
Oh.
Well, you got to say your name.
I'm Luis Gonzalez.
I'm a person.
Ooh, baby.
Wait, what's... Okay, hold on. I have to look this up now. All right, so
And we dabble in digital media content, but...
We do, sometimes.
We do other things, too.
Okay, showing translation
Somebody,
for...
like, wrote in, like, our YouTube comment section what our show is about so far. And
okay.
It's, like, it's Harry Potter, living in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Working in digital media.
Yes.
And... something else that was like really like, oh, we do always talk about these four things.
That's true.
We oh, just and always mental, health.
Mental
health. It was just like,
we went hard on that last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just had a revelation on Google Translate.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know how this relates. I don't know if it means anything, but mm-hmm. the two words separated, Hund, H-U-N-D in German,
uh-huh.
means dog.
Yes.
Hund.
Dachs, D D-A-C-H-S.
German?
German. Translated from German to English means badger.
Badger?
What?
So it's a badger dog. I'm wondering if that's like a rat terrier.
It's like they probably went after the the badgers.
Because it was after, little weenie dogs. I love seeing them weenie dogs go downstairs.
And it would fit into like the little tunnels. That makes sense.
I always imagine the slinky dog going down the stairs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's a little dachshund. And he goes, and just imagine. Yeah.
They're amazing little creatures. You know what else is an amazing creature? Hummingbirds.
What? Where did this come from?
I don't know. Every time I see a hummingbird, I'm like, what a magnificent thing of nature.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty fucking cool, though.
Like, it's like once they're on, like, they don't sleep. They're just like.
Wait, they can rest their little wings.
Do they? I've never seen a hummingbird. They have like, to.
They
stop.
Like, I'm sure they, like, okay.
I thought they were like sharks. Like, they had to just keep going.
No. They got to rest.
Sharks don't have to just keep going.
Sharks just float.
I learned this. I made Shark Week.
I was just like, oh yeah, that's right. You know all the shark things.
There's a shark called the Wobbegong. It's my favorite shark. If you haven't seen a Wobbegong, go Google a Wobbegong. I think I've talked about the Wobbegong. Anyway, the Wobbegong sits on the bottom of the ocean and covers itself in sediment, or will just sit there, lay at the bottom, and looks like the bottom of the ocean. And its tail moves like a plant or like just a thing that like just is hypnotic. And so it goes with the tide and it'll just lay there. And then when a fish is swimming by, it'll just suck it up into its mouth and eat it.
Yes, it's terrifying.
Pretty fucking awesome. But they don't have to keep moving in order to get oxygen in the lungs because they have a mechanism that allows they like suck in the water and it flows over their gills.
And if you want to watch more, you can now watch our Shark Week on Snapchat.
Holy shit. So you can go to Snapchat and you can search in the discovery in like the shows tab and you can watch Shark Week if you are in an English speaking country.
Oh, really? Sorry, Mexico.
Wait, can Australia see it then?
I think so.
I think New Zealand.
So you go to just normal Snapchat. You put the search up top and you put in Shark Week.
And then all of our episodes come up, and you can rewatch them if you really want to. Boom, baby. Look at that.
Look at that. Zoom in real tight.
Whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Enhance.
Zoom in, enhance.
I hate that so much in movies. I hate enhance.
Zoom in, enhance.
I hate it.
What was it watching? It makes me so mad. Blade Runner did it.
And I was just like, it's taking me out of the movie. I hate this so much. Unless every camera and every photo, like it's a futuristic photo that has like a ridiculous amount of pixels.
But Blade Runner is also set in a sci-fi future, so it's like in that case, I can see it happening. But like in CSI, when they do it and it's modern day, and you're like, yeah, sorry, that's not the way that
in a security camera.
Blade Runner, I had to like make me think that it's like these are special photos that have like so much more information and data in the Polaroid.
But they do because he was able to go around the corner.
Yeah.
So,
but it just made me mad for a second. I'm like, you can't just do that.
To play off of that, Shockwave asks, if taking a picture is capturing a moment, when we later look at the picture and remember the moment, is that time travel?
No.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the answer.
Oh, that's the answer. Next one.
No.
But is it mental time travel?
No. Because even your memories are fucked anyway, even when you think you remember a thing.
What about a picture?
Yeah, you'll remember the picture, and you'll remember some things around it, but your memory will never be, like, 100%. Like
that's bullshit. I hate that.
Every time you remember something, doesn't it, like,
change it? Yeah. So,
that's
like,
dumb.
No.
That sounds like a concept for, like, a horror sci-fi movie.
Guys, I'm sorry. I had a random thought of a horror sci-fi. Have you heard? Okay, I know nothing about this. I saw this commercial last night while I was watching on the CW app. First note, CW, thank you for choosing a lot of commercials this time. I was watching Supergirl.
Oh, there's a variety of commercials.
There's so many. I think what happened was they went to advertise and they're like, look, we have a lot of people watching. Please buy advertisement space. And they did. So, next note. There's this movie called Death Day. Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I saw the
Happy
Death Day?
I actually thought that was really interesting. I'm not going to go see it because I saw the trailer. Horror movies, but it seemed like a neat concept.
It sounds terrifying.
What is it? I have no idea what the concept is.
It's like
Groundhog Day, but like you die.
Every time.
So it's
crazy. Final Destination meets Groundhog Day.
But it's like every day. Yeah, yeah.
And she has to find her killer. But
every day she dies different.
And imagine being murdered. You would go insane.
And that's the thing. She starts, like, she starts you see going it in the crazy. Trailer. She's just what like, because it's idea. The same routine.
That is a great concept.
Like, and it's her birthday, too. So it's like happy death day.
I didn't know that.
That's why, like, in the trailer, like, her roommate gives her a cupcake in the morning. She's like, happy birthday. And she's like, oh, thanks. And she throws it away because she's, like, on a diet or something. So, like, she's going that's through, like, worst. This routine. So, like, imagine, like, you're like, fuck, I almost died. I'm going to eat this fucking cupcake. Like.
Wow.
Each day you know you're going to die.
Hey, that's a great concept. Here's the thing.
I'm curious about it, and I will read the Wikipedia about the plot. I will do that because that's what I do with every horror movie. I do that with every horror movie if I'm really interested. That's why I went to see Get Out. I spoiled myself completely before I went to see that movie.
That's yeah.
I couldn't. I would.
Sarah, she does that when something's too tense, like a Game of Thrones episode.
Yeah.
I can't reveal it here because you haven't seen the episode. Yeah. But she just looks it up because she can't stand like,
not
she has
yeah,
too much
yeah,
anxiety exactly. watching,
same,
you know?
Same. Like, yeah. if something's too much and I'm like, I can't deal, I will just go ahead and read it so that I could have a vision in my head of what it is. And it's usually worse, actually. And then I'll watch the thing and go, it's not that bad.
I don't
except
know.
For certain
I like,
characters in the Game of Thrones where I'm like, oh, you made this worse.
I'm fine being spoiled. Like, I'm fine having things be spoiled for me if, like, somebody's, like, talking about something. But I won't go look it up. That's like the people, okay, these people are monsters. The people that open up a book
and
to
read
it
chapter.
And read the last page. And I'm like, no, why would you? That is, the author is purposefully like creating a whole thing. So when you get there, it's like, oh, this is the end. And you've already read it. No,
I've
you're,
done
a,
that in
you're
the
a goddamn monster.
Book.
You're
no,
goddamn
you're a goddamn monster.
I've done
that's not okay.
I've done it in the middle of the book where I'm like, where the heck is this going? Because I'm getting tense and I'm like, well, let me just, and I'll look at the last page and just read the last line and go, okay. And then
what?
I'll go back to it.
Have you ever read a choose your own adventure book, but
oh,
just
yeah,
in
yeah.
order?
No.
It's a mess. It doesn't make any sense.
I love it. It's so fun. Okay, so I was playing Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective, which is really fun. And for those that don't know, it's a game where you basically get, a package of like cases of Sherlock Holmes. They aren't cases that are like in the books. They're just new cases.
Yeah.
And you open up the first case and you get a newspaper from the time that around when the thing happened. But it doesn't have any sort of indication of any, like it doesn't tell you what you're supposed to be looking at. It's just a normal newspaper.
Yes.
From like the 1800s. And then, not an actual one.
No.
And then you basically get your briefing on the case. And you have to go and try and solve it. And it's basically a choose your own adventure, but you have to go and like solve this case in the least amount of steps that you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like so hard. I've never been.
I was like, this sounds like
I've
a nightmare
never had,
game.
I've never had a game be so hard, and it feels so like great. And even when I didn't get it, like because I got it right, we got it right who it was. In the first case, but we didn't get the motivation right.
Oh.
And so there's like a bunch of questions and you have to answer all of them and then you check them against Sherlock and see how well you did and you never win. So you have to know that you're never gonna win and then just enjoy the
it's
process.
Like life.
But we had like notebooks full of clues and like ideas and tangents and we would like go check other buildings and so then you have a map of London and you choose where you're gonna go and then you open up the case book and you find the code that's on the map of like where you want to go and you open it up to that code and you read what happens when you get there and so it's like this choose your own adventure story but as a game and I love choose your own adventure books as a kid and so it kind of brought back that like awesome like wonder that I had of like I could go anywhere and do anything and choose any of these things and like but the choices I made led me to different clues and so so you just have to like try and figure out the mystery and there's all these red herrings and wrong turns and all sorts of stuff anyway it's really really good but after I got done I just went and read the whole case from beginning to end. Just to like read
just to
all of the clues that were there and it was fascinating because they didn't go to like 80% of the places, and there's so many little things here and there that, like, if I had gone to this place, even though it had,
it's like being, it's like playing D&D, but like the Dungeon Master is the book.
Yes,
And it was like, well, this is all the options this Dungeon Master had for you based on like what you were gonna do.
Yeah, and you get to read all of them, but it's cool because like you really feel like you're solving the mystery. And we had pages and pages of notes and we had diagrams of like, okay, these are the people and here's how they're related and here's where they were and here's what they did and here's like the times that they were there.
It sounds so stressful.
It was awesome. It was so fun. Anyway, I'm done with my rant. But yeah, it was really, really fun. It was like actually being a detective.
I was the person where if I was reading a choose your own adventure, I would keep my fingers on the previous pages.
So oh, that man, if I you didn't want to live on the edge.
Yeah, so if I went and I was just like, oh, no, that's the bad ending, because every one of the stories always at least they had one good ending.
Oh, yeah.
So my whole point was looking for the good ending, because that's the story I wanted to read.
Yeah.
So I would go, and I'm like, oh, no, that looks like a bad turn. Go back. Okay, and so I hit my hands with, like, this weird cluttered of, like, a claw book thing, because I'm, like, holding on to the pages, so I knew where to go for the nice happy ending where you escape. Thanks, Goosebumps.
Thanks, Goosebumps.
Thanks, Goosebumps.
Thank you, Jack Black.
Those are the only Goosebumps I would read, too. The ones where Choose Your Own Adventure.
So did you ever watch the TV show?
Yeah.
God, no. Scary.
My favorite one when this kid has a remote. And do you know about this one?
No.
He has a universal remote, and he can do anything with it. So if, say, you're talking too much, mute. Say you're too quiet,
it's
loud.
Like Click.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I guess so. That's what they do in Click. And then I guess he gets in a bad situation, and he just turns it off. Turns the power off. Turns the world off.
Kills himself.
So then he's just in a white room, I think, or in a black room, white room. And then he's like, oh no, I'm okay now. I want to turn life back on. Boop, boop. The batteries are dead. And he's left alone. Second Goosebumps story that I know.
See, this woman. That would fuck me up as a kid.
It fucked me up for a while. I was like, damn. That's deep. I don't know why. I just thought that was crazy.
Yeah, no, that's, it's, hey, you have to live in the void now.
Yeah.
I remember the one where they were in the castle. And he was going to take a picture, like they're walking through this castle of like with the torture chambers and stuff. And he like goes to take a picture of the of one of the night things. And as then like in the camera, they like make it look like it's the camera that he's taking a picture through.
Yeah.
And you see the night come at him, and then he drops the camera, and the night is still like this, like he was gonna attack him.
Uh-huh.
It's like, what is happening? And then the castle starts to come alive, and it's like this whole torture chamber thing. It's fucking
it's
crazy.
One of the, yeah, I feel like that's one of the earlier ones, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. It's one of the first ones.
The other one I know is that there was this person who was selling Tupperware containers, but basically she kept her children in Tupperware so to keep them fresh and young. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yes.
And they're like little children's like, how long have you been here? We've been here for 80 years.
I tried to push that one out of my head.
I tried to forget. And there's another one where like their family were monsters.
I don't need existential crisis.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
They were
yeah.
like, what's wrong? Yeah. It's like, we're all monsters, son.
Yeah.
And then it's like, come on, let's eat people or something.
Yeah, I don't need existential crises when I'm like 10. I had enough. I'm good.
I do find myself watching more things that just like, no high stakes, just like enjoyable. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like Bob's Burgers?
Yeah, little Bob's.
You guys, I need to introduce you guys to more slice of life anime that where nothing happens, because it's great. It's great. Turn off your brain.
Bob's Burgers is the only one that I can watch that has like
but
low
that's
stakes.
Bob's Burgers still has steaks in it.
Yeah.
You it need, does. Like, it has a
steak,
momentum.
It has burgers. Yes. It has fries. It has all the things I love.
Cheese.
Love me some cheese.
I love cheese.
Puns. It's got plenty.
A pun
it's got,
is, it does.
It's got puns. It's got plenty of puns.
It still does that thing that The Simpsons did, where every intro is something different.
Yeah,
yeah.
And American Dad did that too.
Oh yeah.
Well, for like a season.
You know what's fun? Like I
and
mean,
then they gave up.
It's a great yeah. show. I still love it, but I haven't caught back up with it because you know what kind of pushed me off the show? That every episode had a song. And it bothered me. I was just like, I don't need this every time. Like, guys, like, calm
it's
down.
It's not every. It's not every episode.
You know what episode?
It was early. It was early, but not now.
Anymore. Yeah. Like, that's what put me off of it in the beginning. I was just like, I don't need like, because it felt so gimmicky. I was like, I don't need
but
this.
But the new episode jump. Is so fucking cool.
Oh,
we
the
all
new
watched
episode
together.
Was great. We
yeah.
watched
we'll watch the
lunch.
New one. Yeah, because it's really.
They
cool.
They had all these fan artists do like a little chunk of the episode, so the whole yeah. episode's like just different
bunch
art
of different art styles.
And
crazy.
Cool. It's really cool.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, you could with Bob's Burgers, you could really jump in at any moment.
Yeah, you
yeah,
can.
Yeah.
yeah, you know, it's not.
But I feel
there
like
are
I
a
have
couple
to go
of
back.
Through lines, like the landlord's brother.
Right.
Like, you get more info about him if you've watched it all yeah. the way through. But yeah.
But for the most part, it's a pretty
you can
good
pretty
job.
Jump, you can pretty much jump in. It's not serialized.
And it stays
really.
Pretty consistent, the quality.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's been on for so long for it to stay that consistent. It's
yeah.
just great. Okay, what cereal, TK asks, what cereal or snack from your childhood that's no longer being produced do you want to bring back? Anything you can think of?
Anything.
Bueller.
I've gone back and like had snacks and stuff from when I was a kid and went, oh no, this is garbage.
I know, I've had so many things that I had as a kid. Like, I used to get those Cosmic Brownies. Do you know uh-huh. those little Debbie Cosmic Brownies?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like
yeah,
the
yeah.
brownies, they have like the big colored sprinkles on them.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I had those during my lunch, like in my lunch. I want to go back and try them. And I went back and tried them, and they were just like not that great.
Damn.
Do you remember it was like the candy pop with the powder?
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Which one?
The dip.
The fun dip?
The dipsticks, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Those, like, I recently, like, I remember being, those are my favorite because the flavor of the stick was such a unique sugary taste. Yeah. It wasn't even the powder, it was just the stick.
You like the stick?
Yeah.
The Whoa. Stick was my favorite. I like the sugar. I try to,
No, I used to just, I would like eat the like sugar either. A little bit, but the stick, it was like a weird, like, chalky, fruity flavor Avatar. That I remember being like, this is it. And then I had it again as an adult, and I was just like, oh.
Oh, really? Like, do you remember the ones where, like, it's blue, and then when you put it in your mouth, it turns green?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It transformed.
It's pretty cool.
Same with, like, Pop Rocks. I had Pop Rocks again, and I was just like, okay, I get it.
Mm. I want to put Pop Rocks in a burger.
No.
Why are you biting into a burger? It's just get a little, get a little pop.
No,
you need God. You need a little texture, and you need a little pop. You know what I mean? I got great flavor. It's sweet, sour, or not sour. You know what I'm trying to say.
I mean, yeah, you could do sour.
Complete my thoughts.
No. Teriyaki burger.
Yeah.
Sweet and sour.
Sweet and sour pop.
Although the best burger I've ever had was from the Grill Mall truck. I think it was called what was it called? I don't remember which one it was, but in it was a burger, medium well, with peanut butter and grape jelly on it with a little bit of sriracha sauce.
Oh.
And it was the best burger I ever had, ever. The peanut butter and sriracha kind of made it taste like a Thai-influenced
yeah.
burger.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Because, like, you know, it's not like, and it was, like, crunchy peanut butter, so it was weird, but the most delicious thing I ever had. I think it was called the D. Snyder. I think all their burgers were named after, like, different rock bands. Mm. And their, like, regular American burger was, like, the Hannah Montana.
Oh, okay.
So if you wanted, like, just a regular. But they have a brick-and-mortar store, like, at that IMAX theater in Pasadena. So they still exist, but they don't exist as a truck. And that just place is just so far. And they changed it to strawberry jelly instead of grape, which just tastes fine. But the original
was... same.
You're a grape jelly person?
Yeah, I'm a grape jelly person.
Speaking of IMAX.
Mind you, though, in my fridge right now is strawberry. Because sometimes you got to switch it up to appreciate the grape.
Speaking of IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
What about
I'm going to have to zone out.
Well, I think we should do it spoiler-free.
Spoiler-free?
Yeah, spoiler-free. We need to talk about...
Bum, bum, bum.
You know what's funny? I forgot how much I wanted your opinion on it yesterday, and now I'm like, oh, I'm over it.
Okay, then we don't need to talk about it.
I mean, we can. You brought it up. Now people are going
to
be like...
I think we need to at least touch on it, because we have two different sides. Okay, so this is very cryptic for anybody who doesn't know. I mean, for everybody else listening besides the people that are in this room. I've been holding back talking about the new Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Because I had very different opinions from Star about...
I enjoyed it immensely. And then when I asked Spencer about it, he was just like, I'm saving it for the podcast. I'm like,
yes.
The fuck? Are you serious? And he's just like, no, no opinions. And then Jeffrey and Jack came in the room and talked about it a little bit. I'm like, oh. And you still kind of held back. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
I thought you were given some information with that one, but no, it was good.
No, So you enjoyed it a lot.
I thought it was great.
Okay, why did you enjoy it? Just so there's a baseline, because I'm going to talk about it, but I want to make sure there's both sides of the coin.
So I saw the first Blade Runner, the director, final cut, whatever, like 2 days before.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, like, they're one big movie.
Yeah.
And I just enjoyed the themes. I love the pacing. I like that it was really long. I just, like, I didn't feel, like, I felt the 2 hours and 45 minutes, but it felt like I'm supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
The visuals were really cool. I enjoyed how they brought the future in. I liked all the characters. I did have a critique on needed more black people in general, because all the black characters in it were, like, super minor throwaway characters that didn't really do anything to the story.
Yeah.
And they could have easily made, even though I love her as an actress, the cop, the police cop.
Yeah. Robin Wright.
Yeah, they could have made Robin Wright a black woman, and that would have also subverted the whole slavery thing going on with the robot mom. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No,
like, there's robots and there's
people
controlling robots, clone things.
That's pretty much known.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, if they had made that a black woman, that would have added, like, a little extra layer of, like, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
any sort of diversity.
Oh, oh yeah, any side of the, I mean, like, I have a whole city full of, like, it's like half Japanese, kind of like Japanese influence. It's like, where are all the Asian people?
I know.
Like, there was
sleeping.
It just needed, you needed more people of color in your movie sleeping? About the future, where like it's future and like you could do anything.
Yeah.
You know. So, but I really dug it. I just liked it. I liked how creepy it was. I liked how unsettling everything was. Like, even the exploitation of everybody, I felt like everybody was exploited.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, even I was like, I can't even be too mad about, like, how they're treating the women in it, because they're treating the women like they are literal objects, but even the objects are trying
but
to...
they are objects, so it was, yeah, they so literally are objects.
Yeah,
so
and, like, the real women weren't treated like objects, so it was kind of like a, like, I was just like, oh, this is really fascinating to me and uncomfortable, but I'm like, I'm supposed to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I
agree
it.
with most of what you said.
So then what's the problem?
The problem is it was hot garbage. It was hot.
Oh, what?
My God.
It was hot, but it was garbage.
What?
Yeah, so it was not great. Here's the thing. It's definitely worth seeing. It's definitely worth seeing because it is a masterclass in cinematography. The story itself was god awful.
Really?
The story was so bad. Here's the thing.
It's so similar to the first story, though.
Exactly. That's my problem with it. So Saturday, we watched the original Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. We got up, watched the original Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, this story sucks as much as I remember it sucking. But,
oh, see, I love the story.
But, no,
the
story in the first one is awful. But here's what I took away. Here's why I like the first one. Because within that movie... you can feel the filmmakers trying so hard to find the story. And they're grasping, and they have so many cuts that they've done, and you can just feel them, like, viscerally, like, clawing at the story, trying to put all of the pieces together and, like, working, like, because the studio's working against them, and, like, the book that they based it on is not like the story in the movie really at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's similar, but it's not it. And so you can just feel them, like, trying to make it work, and you feel that passion. You feel that, like, this story doesn't necessarily work as a story because it's really ambiguous and really, like, heady and theme-based and not
it's
really narrative.
Artsy.
It's very artsy, but it never really coalesces.
See,
that's the part I liked. But it's because they were trying so hard to like get it to work that you feel that passion in there. The problem is in 2049, that the story's the same in that it never coalesces, but it acts like it's going to, and the passion behind trying to make the like struggle to make that story work is not there. It is a script that was designed to be shot the way that it was shot, and it was shot, and the director intended it for it to be that way, and the story sucked. The story did not...
I completely disagree.
The story was god-awful.
I think,
it was one
I
of the worst.
I love that it's, like, weird and artsy, and half the shit doesn't make sense. Like, everything that a normal movie where
but,
you're
okay,
like...
Okay, but here's the thing. It's like, when he went to locations... When he went to locations, you had no idea why he was there, what he was doing, or what until like halfway through the scene. So there's no emotional track for you to be on with the character. And so you spent half the movie just trying to figure out what the fuck the character was doing. And
I like that
never...
lost feeling, though. I felt like that was intentional.
Right.
Like, you're supposed to be as
but
lost as this guy who's like looking for the answers to like everything, essentially.
But if you're talking about a movie, like a cinematic, a movie, a story. Mm-hmm.
You like all your boxes. You like your boxes,
no,
man.
No, here's the thing. Is Arrival... Arrival did this same...
I didn't see Arrival.
Okay, so Arrival's fucking amazing. You have to see Arrival. Arrival did this same thing. Same director.
Mm-hmm.
Did the same thing where 3/4 of the way through the movie, I was like, what the fuck is happening? In a very, very similar way to Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, at about the 3/4 mark, I was like... I have no idea. Like, I know what's happening, but, like, there was so much ambiguous, weird shit that was going on and so many, like, moving pieces and things. And then in Arrival, you get to, like, the last 20 minutes and it fucking all makes sense.
Click, click, click.
And
click,
everything
click,
goes, click, click. Go, 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 go. And everything clicks together and everything that you've seen, everything that happened, it all suddenly makes sense. And you're like, fuck, this is masterful. This is a master storyteller working, leading you along, making you think you're lost, making you feel like you don't know what's happening and that you're just on this journey and that you're lost with the characters and the characters don't know what's happening. And then it reaches the moment where everything should click, and it clicks, and it's beautiful, and everything works, and you're like...
But that's how a Blade Runner is, though.
But it should be, because that will make... Because here's the thing. You could still do that 2-hour and 45-minute movie, make it feel ambiguous like that, make it feel like it's like it's ethereal, and it's thematic, and it's artsy, and then in the last 20 minutes, make everything click. And that is the difference between a good movie and a great movie, and that is the reason why I think Blade Runner, the first one, didn't do that well originally, because it was not about the story. It was a visual movie.
Yeah.
It was all about the visuals. But the book, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, does that. It has a closing. And so I think that the book, that when I read the book, because I read the book first.
See, I didn't read the books either. And I'm just taking it as this, like, what
but
it's presented.
But it's this story, right? And it's all about the story of Deckard, and it's like this beautiful tale of this android who is hunting the people that he belongs to. And so,
but in the movies, that's way more ambiguous.
Right. And so what I'm saying is the movies don't do story well. The movie, and it's the same writer. If you're just looking for theme, if you're just looking for visuals, if you're just looking to have like this kind of lost, ethereal, artsy experience, absolutely go see it, and it's perfect for that.
See,
if you're
like,
looking for a story that
I like
clicks,
how see, that's the thing. I like that the story doesn't click. I feel like if it doesn't click.
But it tried to click. That's the problem.
Not really.
Yeah.
It clicked on little parts. It's like a puzzle that you're trying to fit together. So some of the things are going to go together, but most of it's going to be this jumbled mess, because everything in this world is this jumbled mess that like everyone's trying to figure out. So I love that, like, there's like hanging threads. There's things that little things here that don't make sense, and you're just like, I don't know what I'm supposed, because that's...
But there are ways, like Arrival did that, and there are ways to do that. Where you leave Inception,
but then
that.
It wouldn't have felt like the first Blade Runner either.
It didn't, but it only needed to feel like the first Blade Runner for the first half of the movie.
No, I would have like if it came together at the end and gave me like a movie that what felt like a modern movie where everything comes together. I would have left the movie like, oh, I guess they modernized it. I wouldn't have been as happy
but
with
see,
it.
But
see,
I left the movie going, I have no idea what I just watched, and I fucking hate it. So,
but that's the feeling you had with the first Blade Runner.
I know, but the first Blade Runner.
So it matched. It worked.
But here's the thing: if you're gonna make a movie, and that movie doesn't work because the story doesn't work, and they know the story didn't work. They've talked about the story not working. Ridley Scott was never happy with any of it because it wasn't the story he wanted to tell, and he was mad that it was so open ended, and it just didn't click. And they knew it didn't click, and they worked so hard to try and make it click that when you go to make a second movie, don't include the mistakes from the first movie.
But what if the mistakes were the things that everyone enjoyed?
But they aren't, at least not for me. I didn't enjoy them. I thought that Blade Runner could have been an amazing movie that got lost in the studio process and was this kind of like, it introduced this whole new style of like art and into cinema. And it like a new wave of this art into cinema, of sci-fi. And then the second movie didn't do anything to try and improve it. It just said, we're going to take, except for the cinematography was amazing. And it blew me out of the water. But like, you fix your mistakes. You fix your mistakes because you can make a movie that feels, like if Arrival had been Blade Runner in the way that it clicked, it would have been, and it explained both movies, and it made the whole thing feel like it made sense suddenly, that is so much more satisfying for the audience than if you just leave everything open-ended. Like the person that ended up being really important was a character that was a tool for the rest, for there was
yeah,
a 5 minute.
Yeah, because it wasn't that character's story.
Right. So why, but as a storyteller that, you know, if you're talking about life, if you're taking it as like, oh, this is what life would be like, then that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you're telling a story.
That's the whole movie. That's the movie. It's like what your life would be like as like this awful robot man.
But lives are not stories, right? And the reason why stories work is because we as a culture have expectations for what those stories are. And when they break them in small ways, sometimes it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But when it breaks them in a way that makes the story less satisfying and make less sense, then it's not forwarding that art form necessarily, because I don't want to see movies that are like Blade Runner. I don't.
I think
if movies were more like 2049.
I love when a movie, I love structure as much as anything, because sometimes I want to know what I'm going to go see. But every once in a while, if you get me out of that bubble and I'm still entertained and it's just like, I don't know where this is going. I don't care where this is going. It doesn't have to make sense. I'm just like along for this ride that and that you're giving me, I could appreciate that and be like, that was satisfying, even though I don't know what happened.
Right. So my criticism,
that's
though,
why
is
like
the...
I like slice of life stuff where there's literally no plot. It's just this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And I could be, I'd be like, this feels soothing and this is enjoyable for me. And maybe you'll give me an emotional arc here and there, but nothing in depth, nothing
see, but like
intense.
My,
and I'm just like, yeah. this is it.
But
this
you can
great.
Critique, like, I thought the movie, the like I Luis said, the visuals
like,
were really
like,
good.
No, this is great. I'm but, taking it all in.
I really want to, yeah.
But for me, I
gotta watch the first one.
I want to critique, yeah, I want to critique the movie as a movie. And as a and like I can critique the story and still say that yeah, like all of those things were great, but I'm gonna critique the story as a story.
Yeah.
And critiquing the story as a story, the story was awful. The story did not do what a story is supposed to do. And
that's
and
what I love about it.
You can like it, but it's just not there are ways to do stories like that work. There are ways to do stories where things don't always make sense. And a lot of Christopher Nolan stuff, like Inception, still has so many open-ended questions. And like, I keep going back to Arrival. Arrival still has some open-ended questions. They close a lot of it. But, I mean, you go to any pretty much any Nolan thing, and there's still some questions that are laid that aren't answered. And you can do it in a really artsy and really engaging way. But when I walk out of a theater and I go, well... Okay, I guess that was the... I guess that's... Like, okay, I thought when it ended, and you know the part where it ends, and I'm not going to say what happens, but I would have been fine if the movie was 3 hours. If we got that... if we got some sort of, like close, and it didn't.
See,
it didn't
for,
ever... It didn't
see,
ever, like,
I think, I, you know what
do
it,
anything.
I think for me, like...
The
movie was just... Because it was so long, you were able to, like, sit in the feelings of what was going on, and even with the slow pace and all that stuff, I think
I
for
love
me,
the slow pace, but it needs to pay off at the end.
I think for me, the movie was just—it's literally the ride of like what you're feeling, what you're seeing, like all that to me was—it's like a sensory experience. So like I'm watching it for this like whole sensory, like the visuals, the feelings I get when certain things happen, and I'm just like, oh, okay. And so by the end of it, like I kind of already was like exhausted from the whole journey that I'm kind of like. Okay, this is fine. Like, I don't need to know. Like, I'm good. Because I think, like, almost any other, like, resolution, I'd have been like, I don't need that right now. I'm like, I just, to me, yeah. the emotional journey of going through it was the story, more so than the actual story.
But it just kind of went like, first of all, the setup and payoff didn't work because the way that they, like, setup and payoff are the fundamentals of storytelling.
This is also why Spencer's writing Ruby, because I like all this vague shit and just let's play around with this world.
Let's just hang
out over here for a little bit. And he's just like, where's the payoff for this thing? And I'm like,
where's the setup?
Man,
where's the
I don't
payoff?
Know.
Because that's what drives stories. And so when you have a setup and a payoff where they set one thing up and you think it's going to be one thing and then they just kind of go, and the movie at the end, literally the movie at the end, my feeling was like,
because that's what the first one does.
I know, and that's a mistake.
No,
the first one shouldn't do that.
It was so great. I love that it did it. I was
But the first one still had closure. It still had an ending.
Which version did you see again?
The final one, where he gets in the elevator.
Okay.
That one still has closure. You know what's happening.
Is that the director one?
Yeah, it's
like
the final,
whatever the final cut is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But at the end, you know what's happening. You know why things happen the way they do, even though they're vague. I thought the story in the first Blade Runner was almost better than the one in the second one because we actually had, you felt them trying to make the story and it had beats. And this one just felt like we meandered and then the movie ended.
I gotta see this movie.
Yeah, you do. Luis, we need your opinion on it.
We should,
Luis needs to be the final word on this. Luis needs to watch both of the movies.
No, because no.
And then say his opinion, and then he picks the side.
No,
then
here's the thing.
Luis will pick who wins.
No, nobody wins because we're all allowed to have valid opinions.
I'm just saying, for the sake of the We Stay Late podcast and the Slack and everything, I mean, mind you, they're going to chime in too, which they can, obviously. You guys decide who wins, but like me or Spencer. Did you enjoy it, or did you think it was hot garbage?
I thought it was hot. But very specifically,
Luis will be the
hot,
final decision.
But I thought it was garbage.
Luis
but
will
I
be the final
hot.
Decision on whether or not the Blade Runner movies
are good.
No, because
Luis gets his own third opinion.
I got my own little 30. We'll see what happens. I mean, these are two different camps of thought.
Yeah.
And
well, I think it's just that I love story, and I want to go to a movie and have a story told to me because that's
Spencer
what I love.
I really do feel like I'm the middle person.
No, I'm fine if it's if it grows out of there, but like there's a reason why structure is structure. And
yeah.
And I would get so like even in college, it was awful. But like even in college, people would come in with scripts and they'd be like, they would read the script and then it would not do anything. And they would be like, well, it's artsy and like it doesn't need to do anything. And I'm like, are you making an experimental film or are you making a film that's designed for audiences to watch it? Because if you're making a film that's designed for a mass audience to watch it, then what the fuck are you? Why is nothing happening? Like, there is nothing happening.
Right.
There's nothing happening. If there's nothing happening, then what are you?
See,
then you're making an experimental film, and that's almost what Blade Runner was. And if it advertised itself as an experimental film, and it was like, hey, this is an experience.
Okay, Spencer, it's an experimental film.
Awesome. I love it.
I win.
This is, I got to watch this movie.
Yeah. But it's
super, like, I mean, you kind of got to know.
I'll tell you two things.
I know, but I think that the movie itself could have been so fucking awesome if it closed the way Arrival closed and just made
But Arrival already exists, man.
No. But I'm talking about the mechanics. I'm not talking about the plot. I'm talking about the way that you tell the story. Mm-hmm. And the way that the story is told where at the end they make – if they could make the first movie and the second movie all click, which there are ways to do because they do it in the book, make all of those things click together at the end, that would be a beautiful thing. And I would love it. And that 2 hours and 45 minutes – would have been absolutely worth it. And I would have loved sitting through 2 hours and 35 minutes to get 10 minutes of like, here is the clicking. And it just didn't happen. So anyway.
Two thoughts. Completely, I'm sorry, I have a lozenge in my mouth because I started coughing. I'm putting that away in this little cup.
Put a little fetus over there. Ooh.
Completely separate thoughts. One, cinematography of that movie is someone by the name of Roger Deakins. And if you look at his IMDb, this man is the Leonardo DiCaprio of cinematography.
Yeah,
like he hasn't been
beautiful movie.
A lot of nominations, hasn't won an Academy yet, which is crazy. Go look at his movies; you're gonna be like, God damn, those are beautiful movies.
Blade Runner
one for
should
this
win
one, right?
Cine.
Yeah,
like should win the Academy
Award. I mean, and
for
him and him and I don't know how to fucking pronounce it. Denis
Villeneuve.
Those two have a partnership already. They did movies like they did Sicario.
Yeah.
And it's funny how you're talking about being lost because I just realized that he loves to do movies where characters are lost.
Yep, he does.
Like Prisoners.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't know where his child is, who took it, what happened. Sicario, she's jumped in the situation and she doesn't know what's going on. She's trying to get a grasp of it.
Arrival.
Arrival. She's also trying to understand what's going on.
She's
she feels lost.
Because she keeps getting like these flashes and stuff.
Yeah, and I just think that's interesting when you find like a common thread or like something that really interests that director, and he's approaching it in different genres, which is
it's like, really fucking cool,
really amazing. And I think Christopher Nolan does the same thing, and his thing, I think, is the truth.
Yeah,
and how
finding
what the truth is, and sometimes if you know true facts can also be deceiving, because you don't have context of the situation. Yep. So you kind of have to look underneath it. I just realized as you guys were talking about, I was like, oh, damn, he loves putting characters
lost.
In a lost situation and they have to find it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So when are you going to watch these movies, Luis?
Well, I don't know, this week.
Okay. You have the movie pass.
Weekend,
we
I
both
have
movie pass.
Yeah.
Oh, if you don't have movie pass, go get movie pass. It's $10 a month.
I don't have movie pass and you can I go to the Arclight.
Oh, yeah. I used to go to the Arclight, and then I got MoviePass, and I get to go see all the movies I want for $10 a month. And so I said, "Screw
that's
the Arclight."
That's crazy and amazing.
So I went and saw the ticket was $13, and I paid $10 a month, and I've already paid it off.
Yeah, one movie, and you paid it off.
Less than one movie.
I've already. Speaking of which, I already bought my Star Wars tickets.
Oh fuck!
Oh,
I
yes,
need to buy
right,
my
he
Star
did.
Wars tickets. Okay, did you watch the trailer?
No, I
did. Did you watch the trailer? I didn't watch it either. Okay, we have nothing to talk about.
No, no, we're not.
Sorry,
they
we're not talking about it.
The director and Mark Hamill told you not to
Mark
watch it.
As soon as Mark Hamill said, "Don't watch the trailer," I was like, "Well, okay, I'm gonna listen to Luke."
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not watching it.
I'm excited because the director of this one directed Breaking Bad.
I'm just hoping
but
that.
I keep seeing pictures. People are posting like screenshots.
I'm just hoping.
What a bunch of ass.
That they don't. What a bunch of ass. I'm just hoping they don't play it before a movie I go to see.
You know what I do is I just, I kind of
look
down.
Just look down. And I, as long as you don't see it.
Oh, no, I'm going to be that bad. I'm gonna if they play it in the movie, I'm going to watch it because the sounds alone, I'm going to be like, but I'm here.
I can't. I don't know. Except for Happy Death Day. That one sold me. That sold me. I was like, maybe I should get back to watching trailers.
Yeah.
Because that really, I'm going to watch that movie.
Pacific Rim 2?
You going to watch
like the trailer?
I watched that trailer. I'll tell you that.
I watched that trailer. I enjoyed that trailer. I am pumped. I'm very excited.
There is one already out?
There's a trailer for it.
The full trailer's out.
I didn't know.
In front of Blade Runner, they played it.
And I was, I'm super excited. It's going to be bad good. And I'm so,
yeah,
I'm
the
so
trailer,
pumped.
The trailer looks like a Transformers movie.
Nice.
So but
I'm
like
worried.
Better. Like you
but
could
I think
actually
I know,
see what's under
but
what's
I,
going on.
But I think that it knows what it is where Transformers didn't know what
it's
it was.
It's like it's essentially
it's anime.
Yeah, it's anime, it's Power Rangers,
yeah.
But with monster movies, and I'm just like, yes, please give me all of this.
It knows what it is, and that's what's important because it knows that it's supposed to be
that's,
cheesy.
That's,
and
I'm
knows,
fine. If, yeah. As long as you know what you're doing.
Yeah, as long as you know that it's cheesy and
right
and funny. But
cheesy
Michael Bay
speeches and everything else,
yeah.
Is like more.
But, yeah,
more.
But the Michael Bay Transformers thing where it's like, it's going to be gritty and serious. And you're like, what the fuck are you? This is about fighting robots from space.
Yeah.
With King Arthur.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
King
the last,
Arthur?
The last
I haven't
night.
Seen it, but like, yeah, King,
yeah,
Arthur's
King Arthur
is the last one.
What a, oh my God.
What a bunch of baloney.
Yeah, what a, yeah, that's it.
What a bunch of.
What's the next question?
I don't know.
Isn't there one about bugs?
Bugs?
Yeah, just like, what kind of bug do you want to be?
Oh, I haven't read that one yet. We have, if,
oh,
you,
yeah,
had to,
there is one.
If you had to delete every social media app off your phone except for one.
We answered this one.
What would that be?
I don't remember answering this one.
We answered this one.
You said you wanted to read this one out loud when it came in.
Oh.
And then you were like, I have an answer for it. But I was like, you can't talk about it until the podcast.
I must have mentally went through the whole argument in my head and forgot.
Which
that's
one?
What happens with these questions. I go, oh, answer. Never have to answer that ever again. Which social media would I probably keep Instagram. Or Twitter. Instagram. But Instagram more likely than Twitter.
If I had to keep only one?
Only one.
Gun to my head?
Gun to your head.
I'd probably Facebook.
Yeah.
I the only reason I say Facebook, because as like it's just, it has everything.
Yeah.
You have a post, you have your pictures. Yeah. There we go.
I say Instagram because that's where most of my friends post now. They don't really post on Facebook anymore.
Right.
So
I
it's
see
less
that.
Like, oh, I actually get to see what's going on and like art stuff. And though yeah. I would miss Twitter for like the mental strife slash like escape that it gives me at the same time. So, but if I had to give one up,
I'll tell you what, you put us a picture and you put a caption. I ain't reading that caption. I'm looking at the picture and moving on.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
I think I would keep Instagram too. I think that part of me wants to keep Facebook only because I feel like it is like a good way to, if you have people that you are trying to like stay in contact with,
yeah.
I feel like that's that you can just add people on there and then you can get back in touch with them very easily, where Instagram feels more like it's not designed for that necessarily.
Yeah.
But I think there's also something to like the fact that people are posting photos of themselves and their lives on Instagram, where I feel like I keep up more with what people are doing in their lives because of Instagram,
uh-huh,
more than Facebook, because mm-hmm, I'm not really on Facebook very much.
Yeah, I don't.
And so
yeah. I'm not
Facebook
and so,
is just a
yeah,
tool to log into other sites for me.
Oh yeah, that's true.
It I'm is afraid to do that. I only use Gmail.
I don't want to post on my fucking
see
wall.
Gmail scares me more to do that.
I know.
That's funny.
You gotta
how
pick
that is.
Your
pick your poison.
Do we
pick
all use
poison.
Gmail? Are we all Gmail?
Yeah.
Like your choice. Gun to your head. Gmail.
Gun to my head. Gmail.
Yeah,
yeah, Gmail.
I think so too. I used to have Yahoo, and I was like, screw Yahoo.
My mom still uses AOL.
You guys ever use Hotmail?
Yes, as a kid.
No.
As a
you
little.
You ever use Roadrunner?
Nope. Yes.
Okay.
I abandoned that one
yeah
real quick.
I was an AOL to Gmail, and that was it.
Guys, I remember. AIM died.
Yeah, I know.
Rest in peace. Pouring out.
Pouring out for AIM. That was my go-to social media as a youngster. Yeah.
I met a little girl over there. Oh, okay. Hold on. God
what?
Damn it.
Wait
a wait second.
What?
I was also a little boy. Because you could do random chats, you know what I mean? And you can get into like random groups and you start talking and you start meeting
oh, yeah,
new people.
AOL Instant Messenger is the way I got Adobe Premiere 4.1 through like having to like just from chatting because somebody made a Sailor Moon music video and I was
uh-huh
like, how did you do that? And I messaged them.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, I have this program. And I was like, oh, I don't have that. They're like, I'll send it to you. And through AIM, mind you, I had to tell my mom, do not pick up the phone for like several hours.
Oh, yeah.
And I got my first Adobe program illegally through AIM because they didn't have like blockers.
I'll tell you what,
Slack
is the new AIM.
Slack is the new AIM, yeah.
Yeah. Don't use it for business.
Hey, if you haven't joined our Slack,
join the motherfucking Slack.
Go on Twitter.
Pick
Let me
the
tell you,
Slack,
this is what we're doing over there at Slack. I'm tell you, I don't know if you guys know about this.
I don't know. What is it?
We are having a Slack bake-off.
Oh, I saw like rumors of that.
My ears.
That was great timing.
The machine did not like that. Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw like a little post on it's like, oh, I was like, y'all are going all out.
Oh, I'm gonna edit a video. I told them record the video of them making the baking stuff, and I'll make a compilation video.
Okay, well, here's my concern with the
bake-off.
I'll
compile it.
This is where I'll get interested in the bake-off. Are you participating in the bake-off?
I think so. I think I'm gonna participate.
How often are you participating? Are you how many baked treats?
I'm just gonna bake one thing.
Oh,
what you want to bake a lot?
I want you to bake a lot of things.
I need
a You started off working here. He was a baking fiend because
that's
I was watching the Great British Baking Show.
He brought in some banana bread that was delicious, and like your was it your croissants that were
my
like
infamous
okay,
croissants,
but they were delicious. And I was expecting Luis is gonna start bringing in treats, and then you stopped, and I was sad.
Life is tough.
Bring in more baked goods. All the baked goods. I'll send you recipes I see on Tasty.
You did. There was one thing.
The banana bread with the cheesecake in it, which was delicious. And I'm like, oh, I need to send Luis more baked goods because he'll make them.
I think that's actually a great idea. You send me a baked good and I'll make it.
Okay. Deal.
Probably maybe Sunday.
Okay. All right. Cool. So I have the rest of the week to find like a good Tasty recipe.
Yeah.
Although I kind of just want the banana bread again.
No.
It was so good. I have bananas in my house right now that are starting to go bad, and like
those will be good.
I don't know how to make banana bread.
It's pretty easy.
I've heard.
Actually,
like,
wait. Did I make it? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did. I had mochi. I got mochi from Little Tokyo.
I still haven't had mochi.
Oh man, I'm gonna bring some in tomorrow, and you're gonna try it.
Perfecto.
It's so good.
It's enjoyed
so
the taste of
good.
It. The texture is like always touch and go for me.
Oh no, I love the texture. Everything about it.
It's just like it's like floury, but not.
If you haven't
it's
looked
weird.
Up how they make mochi, by the way, mochi is like for those who don't know.
The hammers.
Yeah.
If you go to Little Tokyo on New Year's in L.A., because it's a great like Japanese festival. They have mochi making areas, and you get to stand in the line and go sit there, and then. Smash the mochi and like make.
So
it.
I
want to
dress up a store and do it.
They basically take They basically take rice, and just smash it until it's
like a weird
pure.
Paste.
It's Whoa. So good.
It's a weird paste.
Unreal.
They add like I think like something to it, and
they
then they
anger
like
management
and then they
it.
Roll it with like a little bit of flour so it has so you could like hold it and it's not sticky.
So yeah,
and it's interesting. I like it with the ice cream, the mochi ice cream, because
yeah,
that,
the ice, cream's
the ice
really
cream
good.
In the middle.
I just like the straight. I just have mochi like they're like they look like little grubs.
Think
or
of just eating like balls of like unbaked flour.
No, that is
what
not
it,
what it is.
It's,
not
it's a
any
little
way.
Bit like that, but a little
it's
bit more smooth.
It's a little bit like eating just little balls of gelatin.
Okay.
But like, think flour.
A little mix of those two together.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the flour.
You gotta just bring it in.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring it in.
Okay.
You're gonna have some. But it's yeah, but when they make it, there's usually at least in the thing that I was watching, I think it's Great Big Story. It's like they did a thing on it. Go Google it. It's amazing. There's these two guys, and they make it together, and they're a team because basically what they do is they yell, they yell. So like one of them will flip the mochi over and put they'll like grab it and flip it, and the other one will come down with a hammer and like a mallet and slam it to squish it. But they have to yell to time. So it'd be like, okay, you and I are going to do it.
Okay.
Let's turn the mics away so we don't fuss. Okay, so they go. So I'm going to throw it. He goes, So they do that so that they know when not to hit each
That's
other.
That's pretty good.
And we did a terrible job of it this time. But we would have slammed hands very easily.
I was like, you guys would have broken fingers.
But they do it so that they're able to more easily.
That's pretty
time.
Good.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And they just go, ha, 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 and it sounds like they're having a seizure.
That's
and then
amazing.
They, yeah, but it's pretty cool. Okay, somebody asked a question a long time ago, and we never got to it, and I want to get to it because I love Pokemon. Joe Talat?
I don't know.
Sorry, Joe. Playing Pokemon Yellow again. This was back in August, so I don't know if you're still playing game. Pokemon, but we're going to answer it anyways. Out of the 151 Pokemon, who should I add to my team?
Well, okay.
So it's the originals. Original 151. Who do you add to your team?
So my old school team, because I needed all the Eevees I could get. So I had a regular Eevee. I had my Vaporeon, my Jolteon, my Flareon. And then I usually just had whatever that first bird I caught from the very beginning.
Spearow. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know,
Pidgey.
It's like their first one.
Pidgey.
Yeah, I think it was a Pidgey. Like, and by the time it's like upgraded to like its ultimate.
It's still thing. Worthless.
And it's like my boy, because it's the one Pidgeot? You first. Yeah, it's yeah, like your Pidgeot? First one that you get. I'm yep. like, you're going to be my, like, you're a ride or die.
Yeah.
And then, like, whatever one, it's usually probably like some, I would fill in with like a rock type. It would be my like, person I would switch out all the time. So it's like, if I'm going to go battle whatever gym, it'd be like, okay, that's the one for sure that's like the opposite.
Right.
My filler.
This is tough.
It was so simple back then.
I always liked the Alakazam and
Abra.
Abra. Those yeah. things are so cool
they're
to
so
me.
They're so elusive.
Yeah, they are. I don't know how powerful they are, and I don't know their matchups very well. I always think Onyx is really cool, but he's really weak
cool.
to
yeah,
water.
He's really weak.
And
cool.
so that kind of sucks. I don't know. I guess I like...
Do you have your Magikarp?
Oh, the Gyarados?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's always worth it. Yes. I mean, that's worth it. It's worth the fight.
I went through that phase, too, where it's like, I'm fucking, this guy's going in every battle.
Ooh, Ditto?
You're going to splash around.
Ditto was cool.
I don't know why I had a fascination with Poliwhirl. I just think he looked cute.
Polybag and Poliwhirl, yeah.
That little Poliwhirl.
Poliwhirl. I don't think he's in the original.
Yeah, he is.
Is he?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Poliwhirl.
I liked Magmar.
Yeah, Magmar. Magmar.
And like Rhyhorn.
Rhyhorn.
I don't know why. I really like those. And the Alakazam.
Those are really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, those are really fucking cool. I think just because visually they're
oh,
really
you know
cool.
what? I think I would fill in with the Clefairy. I think that
oh,
was
yeah,
my
oh, yeah, Clefairy's
those are
a good
nice,
one.
Yeah,
yeah, because they could put people to sleep. And that was always really useful.
Snorlax. I mean, that's like always a go-to, right?
Yeah.
Jigglypuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. She can put people to sleep. What was the other one that I would always run into? I'm looking at them really. Oh, a Porygon was always such a weird Pokemon.
Porygon's kind of cool.
Yeah, because it was like
a weird bird.
It was the one that looks like a robot.
Yeah, and everyone's just like, "What?
What the fuck is this?"
Did you hear about that? The episode that they couldn't show because it gave seizures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Because the Porygon
the flashing.
Yeah, I watched it. I was like, I want to watch, but I'm afraid I might get a seizure.
I watch. It's just like flashing lights and stuff. But I've become so like more conscious of flashing lights and everything now because I have a friend who like she gets seizures from that. So now every piece of content, like movies, old school anime, like there's so much flashing in every movie that it's just like it makes me mad now. Where I'm like, my friend can't see this. Like it just makes me upset. I'm like, you guys don't need because you don't need it.
No, they just need it to like. Flash it up.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Kabutops was my other.
Oh, that is kind of cool. Those are the fossil
cool,
ones.
Yeah, where he's like.
Once you go deep past like 30s and 50s,
yeah.
you start going into the weird lands,
yeah.
like fossil and
pincer. Yeah, pincer. Remember pincer? Yeah, had, like the mouth that had. Yeah. But okay, controversial.
Mm-hmm.
I like Raichu more than I like Pikachu.
That's fine.
Raichu's fucking cool.
He's kind of cool.
I evolved my Pikachu to a Raichu.
Oh,
was
you know,
like,
so cool.
Because I
Hold
wanted
on,
to collect them
picture.
All. And I was like, I'm not that attached to Pikachu.
Okay, look at fucking Raichu.
Yeah, he's kind of dope.
He's really fucking cool.
Yeah, he's cool. I like the baby one,
awesome.
Though. The what you call it later
oh,
on.
Oh, yeah,
I
yeah,
like
yeah.
Sandslash, too.
Sandslash, yeah. Sandslash
he's
was very
guy.
Useful, though. What, and then what was up with Nidorino and Nidorina?
They had genders.
I know. Why didn't the others have genders?
Because they're weird blob creatures.
Like Ditto?
Well, no, I think the thing is that
like
their
muck?
Genders actually made them look different.
Diglets.
I think all the other Pokemon.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because they did have genders.
They did have genders, but they just didn't have different appearances.
Oh, Psyduck?
Psyduck.
Psyduck.
I'm just looking at them now.
Yeah. No, there were some fun ones. And then they got real weird. Like the weirdest Pokemon that.
Oh, Ponyta.
Oh, Slowpoke.
Oh,
Ponyta.
Yes.
Slowpoke.
Ponyta.
I'm gonna look up the weirdest ones right
Far
now.
Farfetch, get
if
out
I
of here.
If I couldn't be like a
oh,
Eevee
the
Lucian
ghost.
One, I'd have like all the fire.
Oh
ones.
Yeah, Gengar.
Gengar, ghastly.
I hated those.
Ghastly. You hated. Look at this little
I
creeper.
I don't like them.
Oh, who was the one? Oh my god, I love. Yeah, once you start going down, like Drowsy.
Yeah, Drowsy's cool.
And what was the one? Coughing.
Oh yeah, uh huh.
He looked so happy, and then he turned into Wheezy.
Yeah.
And he was so sad.
And they self-destruct and die.
Yeah, I like coughing. coughing. And he was so happy. In fact, I changed my hard drive icon because it just had, looks like a folder. And I changed it to a happy coughing. He's just so happy.
I like the Wobba Fett. But that's later.
Oh, yeah, Wobba Fett.
Wobba Fett.
So I just pulled up a list of 20 Pokemon that are really dumb. And there's one called Krygonal, and it looks like a snowflake.
Isn't there one else that's also an ice cream cone?
I'm sure we'll get to
it.
Straight
up an ice cream cone?
Litwick is literally just a candle.
Litwick?
Litwick.
These are just so... I love the 150.
Lampent is literally just a lamp.
Isn't there one Kizo, who's a key?
Probably. Chandelure, and chandelure is just a chandelier.
See, come on. They're getting a little lazy.
There's one called Clink. What do you think that is? It's a bunch of gears. There's one called Clang. What do you think that is?
I want somebody gears to explain more gears. Yeah. The science of Pokemon.
There's
like,
one called
Kling
Clang. What do you think that is?
The third iteration?
The racist one. I was going to say, the racist one?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, explain the science of it. Yeah. Oh, Vanillite, and that's ice cream.
What?
And yeah, then Vanillish, and that's ice cream, but this time it has a cone.
Oh.
It doesn't. Okay, no, here's the difference between the two. Okay, Vanillite has a sugar, has the, what are they called? The cones that
sugar
are like,
cone?
They're like the plastic, they're almost like styrofoam,
yes.
The ones you get in the store.
Yeah, those are sugar, they're like sugar
so,
cups.
Vanillite has that one. Vanillish has the pointy cone.
Has
I don't
a,
like
has
those.
A waffle cone.
You don't like waffle cones?
I do not like waffle
you
cones.
Get out.
I like
cones?
The,
what the fuck, man?
I love that first cup, the little one. I don't want the waffle cone. It's too hard. It's too thick. It's got too much flavor. I like that crunchy, soft pastry,
you know,
good texture.
You know, Luis, this is
thing.
Where you're like just absolutely wrong. Right?
I know, and it costs more for the waffle cone.
Yeah, it
I
does.
Don't want it. Give me that one, and it's a nice bite at the end. You're at that square.
Yep.
And then
and
all the vanilla
like,
sits in it, and you just eat the whole thing.
I see the
God
appeal.
Damn, I love it.
I see the appeal.
Don't get me wrong. I've gotten those every once in a while. Yeah. I'll treat myself at the grocery store and go, I'm going to get some cones. And I don't get the waffle cones because waffle cones are for the treat when you get that
waffle
high
cones
quality
are for, like, Cold
ice cream.
Stone.
Yeah, your salt and straws.
Yeah, salt and straws.
Your Disneyland. McConnell's. Your Disneyland ice creams. You get that waffle cone.
Vanillish is the one with the pointy cone. Vanillux.
Is it a sundae?
Two cones.
Two cones.
Sorry, three cones, two scoops.
Oh.
There's a main cone. Then there's two scoops sitting side by side. One has open eyes. One has happy closed eyes.
There was that racist one that they ended
Jinx?
Up making purple. Yeah.
Jinx.
Yeah. They changed her. They're like, ooh, we need to mark
Jinx.
This better.
Jinx.
Real dumb. Hunedge, which looks like a sword. And and then Dewblade, which is just two swords.
All these Pokemon fans are gonna listen to this and go like, "We know, man."
Sorry, this
just
is just fascinating
Pokemon.
To me. Oh, and here's one from the original, Magnemite. It's just a bunch of magnets.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's real dumb. Magneton.
Magnemite.
Oh yeah, here it is, Klefki, and it's just a ring of keys.
That's the one. That's the one.
Real dumb.
Klefkies.
Klefki.
Okay.
That's a cool name though. I don't mind the name.
Yeah.
It's like Clefairy.
Okay.
Oh. That's Klefki.
It's Clefairy's keys.
But I don't like the design. They would need to have something that was other something.
They had to go home that day.
Yeah.
It's almost six. I gotta go.
Just looking at your keys and you're like, wait a second.
Yeah. It's just a room, keys, ice cream.
Yeah.
Someone's
it's like, what can we make? How about we call it pencil?
Yeah.
And just make it a pencil.
Like, Mugatai.
I imagine that
Mugatai.
And this is just the classic kind of way that this would happen. But like they're like, Steve, what ideas did you have for Pokemon? We're in our big meeting, our big monthly meeting where we have to come up with new Pokemon ideas. And he's like, Lampera. It's a lamp.
Yeah.
Pocket.
Floratron. It's the floor.
Charon. It's a chair.
Yeah.
That's how they make their Pokemon now. But that's okay.
That's
I right. forgive them. Okay, here's the thing. If they came out with a new Pokemon game and it was on a console and I could go around and catch Pokemon and then go battle gyms.
It's not Pokemon if it's on a console.
Why not?
Why not? It's still Pokemon.
Because
it's just
that's
on a
how
console.
You share get other Pokemon from other people. You have to like take the physical.
No, but I just connect to the people that are online and
well,
just
now
trade
with
them.
The whole net. What's it called? Click? No, Nintendo.
The Pokemon Go.
Nintendo Click.
The Switch?
Switch. Yeah. Now with the Switch, you can take it on the go. And you can have it on your system.
There you go.
I'd be fine with it on the Switch.
It's not on the Switch? I thought it was.
I don't know.
It
if
should
it
be.
Is, I want it.
Mr. Nintendo,
just,
put it on
the
Switch.
We all just sound like old farts right now going like, where are the Pokemon?
What's the clicks?
Well, no, I know they're still making the games. I just want an RPG that I can play.
Yeah.
I want an RPG
I'm pretty sure it's on the Switch.
But is it like, but I don't want the top down. I want like the, I want the Uncharted, but Pokemon. Or the like Horizon Zero Dawn, but Pokemon. It'd be so fucking cool.
I wish
cool.
they did a Jurassic Park movie, but instead of making dinosaurs, they're making Pokemon.
They did. It's called Pokemon, the first movie.
No, they weren't making Pokemon. No. Well, Mewtwo. I guess they're making Mewtwo.
It might be.
Is it going to be, are they just going to port the other game? Because I don't fucking want a port of a Game Boy game, of a DS game.
If it does, the long rumored Pokemon Stars, if it does go to the Switch, it'll be the first time in history of the series that a main Pokemon RPG title is coming to a home console.
Fuck, okay. That means if that comes out, I have to get a Switch. That's what that means. Sorry, team. Well, it's going to happen.
That's fine.
You're forgiven.
You do what you got to do.
Okay, we should probably go.
One more question.
I have to run and meet my dad
for dinner. This is your fault that we ran late. So one more question.
He's got to go see his papa.
I got to go see my dad. He just flew in. He flies out tomorrow morning.
Fine. What? He just flew in and he's flying out?
Well, no, he was visiting visiting somewhere else and then he flew back through LAX first.
Oh, okay, cool.
So he's staying at a hotel by there. He's staying
over.
That's
nice.
Fine.
So, sorry, Star. We'll get to another. We'll do more.
We'll do more. We have next week.
We have infinite numbers of weeks.
I guess. Add more questions to the Slack, you guys.
Join the Slack.
You could just tweet
add
us.
Questions.
If you aren't on the Slack, that's all right. One, get on the Slack. Two, just tweet at us.
Do we check the Twitter?
I check the Twitter all the time.
I always forget the Twitter.
I don't.
I'm on Twitter all
the time. Ask questions on the Twitter so Spencer will see them.
I'll see them. I'll gather them. I'll ask the questions. I ask the questions around here. All right, goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We'll do both.
I don't know if I can do both.
See you next week, little fetuses.
Is this still going on?